Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, hello.
Good evening.
Yeah, okay, there's a little bit of silence. Is Blog Talk up and running? May I proceed?
It's up and running. Yes,
okay, good, good, good. Well, look here, I'm really in the I'm in the mood, and in order to get in the mood, I was watching this Frontline documentary, and I encourage everybody. I want to do two things. I have an old credit card statement that I would like to go over, and because I think this is a super serious issue. And also I would like to explain some professions that are AI proof, artificial intelligent proof, or ChatGPT. You've heard a lot about it, and it's putting a lot of people out of work. For example, people in the tertiary sector, you know, you have the primary, secondary, and, of course, the third sector, which is the tertiary sector. And that's mainly white-collar jobs, you know, your accountants, your attorneys, et cetera, et cetera. They're finding out that, and legal, what did I say legal secretaries? If I did, they are also included. But many people in that work in administration, paper pushing, what we would call, again, white-collar jobs, they're losing their jobs because they've been targeted. I don't know if you guys heard about the writers' strike. They are afraid of ChatGPT or AI because it's taking their jobs, because that can pretty much do all that writing and administrative stuff. So anyway, I want to speak, you know, to the young men particularly, and also the young women about jobs that are pretty much AI proof. And so those are the two areas that I would like to focus on, are the credit cards and AI proof occupations. Just one quick thing here, the secret history of the credit card. I'm going to encourage you guys to really look that up and listen to it, the Frontline documentary. That's worthy of several programs in and of itself. And I think the credit cards have just gone over $1 trillion. People are basically living, I think the figure last I heard was like 49% of Americans are living from their credit cards. And so as a result of that, let's talk about that, because the companies are vicious, raising your rates, giving you penalties, and I just want to share with you how to avoid all of that. Now, they call us names. There's a name they call us, that is people who pay off their credit cards. They call them deadbeats. But we don't give a damn, because we have learned how to turn it around, or at least those of us who are in the know, and use credit cards for our benefit. They are great tools if one uses them properly. So those are just a few ideas I wanted to throw on the table.
Thank you very much, Mr. Solution. May I just invite the listeners to catch up. We are on We are on Keeping It Real with Jay Sean. We're on Blog Talk if you happen to be listening to this recorded. And you can access the Blog Talk Keeping It Real network by calling 563-999-3718. This segment is going to run through September 26th, and it's titled Let's Review the ABCs of Finance, Investment, and Building Wealth with Insurance. And so as you've heard, Mr. Solution, he's ready to share some more information with you, and we look forward to gaining the knowledge from him, I myself, and Yvonne A. Smith. So Mr. Solution is a successful investor, and a successful investor who's willing to share the dynamics. Everyone can reach that level as well if they so choose. And I am a registered income tax preparer, a licensed life insurance and health insurance agent, and it is my pleasure to share my knowledge with you as well. We thank the Keeping It Real platform for bringing this segment to the people, and we hope that the people will participate. One, if you have a question, if you have information that you like to share, and when the person speaking is complete, then we will open that door and give you your opportunity. So I thank you very much for that, and let's go. Mr. Solution?
Sure, yeah, thank you. First of all, let me just, I want to open with a little bit of a wisdom literature regarding wealth, wealth secrets. And here it goes. It says, work positively. There are no money problems. There are only attitude problems. A go-getter with the proper attitude cannot be denied. Face your fears. You always find the best fishing holes in the places where the average fisherman is afraid to go. Watch the crowd. Go in the opposite direction. Know value. That's K-N-O-W. Know value. Until you know value, everything is worthless. As soon as you know value, everything is valuable. All opportunities are disguised as problems. He who lives the golden rule gets the goal here too. Money is attracted to great ideas. You are your wealth. The money that flows to you is just a byproduct of your non-financial resources. There is no failure, only feedback. A network saves legwork. Routine brings results. A disorganized genius is no match for the average person with a daily routine. There are no wealth secrets. Common sense plus action equals power. So I think those are some good points to listen to and ponder. Just to explain the gravity of this, at least as I perceive it, in the military, they taught us both decentralization and centralization. So if someone went down, everything didn't just go to pot because other people were trained to take over the leadership role. So I think that's a good thing. And I think money is so important. I'm going to encourage Jay Sean, but I'm just going to say it openly. This should be presented on every show. There should be some financial information presented. So I'll say that and enlarge up on it later. Now, on the credit card, there are two. Regarding credit cards, I'll deal with that first, and then I'll deal with the trades that I believe are AI proof, that is artificial intelligence proof. That means that you can't come in and you get a pink slip saying, we no longer need your services. Your services will always be relevant and they will always be greatly desired in these industries that I'm going to name. And by no means is this exhaustive. It's just illustrative of some of the common ones. But regarding the credit card statement, there are two documentaries. One is The Credit Card Game, and let me just tell you, it's vicious. You have no idea how vicious it is, the way they raise those interest rates. And the government has just allowed us, thrown us to the wolves, because there used to be usury laws in place, and those usury laws required that interest above 10% was illegal. Okay, the credit card companies, through lobbying, that means paying off politicians, got them to relax or discard the usury laws. So now they can charge, I think, 28, 30% interest plus fees. And there's so much chicanery, i.e. trickery, involved in the credit card scam. For example, I understand if they get your payment on Friday, and that's the due date, past Friday you are you're late, and they can hit you with late fees, they won't credit your account until Monday. So, boom, they hit you with the late fees, and they have one almost needs a degree in finance to really understand the credit card. But I'm going to break it down. I'm going to try and make it very, very simple. It has worked for me for a number of years, and I think it'll work for you. But there is some preparation that needs to be made. Now, they have what's called the MPD, the minimum payment due. And now, all of mine are zeros, okay? I'm just going to tell you. But that minimum payment is based on a lot of background psychology. And what that payment does is pretty much it's supposed to enlist you into paying that bill in perpetuity. That means a long time. And that way they make more money. That's what makes them more money. They couldn't make as much money just dealing squarely. They could make some money, but by introducing all these tricks, and these are little nerd guys, they'll tell you the inventors, the creators of this, and make no mistake about it, I have no problem with the person making money, making lots of money. But I'd like for there to be a win-win situation. And in these situations, only the credit card wins. Because if you miss a payment in any way, they're going to lower the boom on you. They're going to lower the hammer. Anyway, it says here, at least on this one, and all of them have models of this, it says late payment warning. And they say if they don't receive, and they put this in small print, so I have to refocus just to read it. They say, if we don't receive your minimum payment, which is already a trap, by the date listed above, you may have to pay $7 late fee. This is 7, some say 10. They can put what insert number. They can say whatever number they want. But may, in this particular context, if you go to Black's Law Dictionary, in contractual discussion, and this is just for educational and entertainment purposes. This is not the super advice, so you take it with a grain of salt. But may means shall or will. So they say may, but they mean will or shall. And so they give you this warning. So there's a late fee, and they give you a number to call because they know a lot of people are going to get in trouble. But look, the point is, if you don't have any money, pretty much your pleas may fall on deaf ears. But you can still call them. Sometimes that has a little bit of a benefit. And I'm going to talk about the negatives. These are some of the negatives. The late payment penalty are the fees that they charge, because there are fees and penalties, and all of that boosts your whatever your minimum payment was. These late fees and penalties push that up. Now, that late fee penalty, I'm sorry, the minimum fee is designed to just kind of lull you into paying this forever. Oh, yeah, I can pay $20 on $1,500, or I can pay $25 on $3,000. Yeah, I can do that. Well, they know what they're doing, and they do this in such a way, it's a trap. That's what it really is. So the way to circumvent all of this is really to pay off your card. Pay it off every month. That's the real trick. Now, they hate you for doing that. They don't like you, but who gives a damn? But if you pay it off every month, you avoid everything. Pay it off before it's due. Like there's what you call a billing cycle, and that billing cycle sometimes is 30, sometimes it's 45 days, whatever. So it's a free loan up until that point. Now, we're just talking about merchandise purchase. It's different if you borrow money. If you borrow money, those rules are changed. I've never borrowed money on my credit card. I've only used it for purchases. So just a few other things on that, and unless there are questions, and please write your questions down, and we'll try and answer them. If I can't, Miss Eva Dene, I'm sure she can. But, you want all zeros where it says interest paid or where it says fees paid or interest paid. Total fees charged, and this is for this year, so it's current. And then it says total interest. So you can see they have both. They have fees and interest. And all of mine are nulled out, which is exactly the way I prefer it. And I don't care what the interest rate is. They could charge 50%. Doesn't make me any difference because I'm not going to pay that anyway. Now, the other thing, now that's most of the negative about credit cards. There is a lot more. For example, just one other thing. People who, if one loses their job, or medical expenses, and sometimes they rely on their credit card, and that can throw them into financial tailspin. But absent that, which can be terrible, I would just say pay off your credit card. Ignore that minimum payment due and just pay it off. Now, let's look at some quick benefits of the credit card. As I said, it's a free loan. I mean, think about that. You need whatever number of dollars your financial institution, bank, credit union, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever you demand and they extend to you, that's your credit limit. And you use that money for whatever you need it for. It's a free loan. It's free. Think about that. It's free. As long as one doesn't fall into the trap. So that's very, very important. Now, that's a benefit, obviously a free loan. The other very important thing is credit cards can be better than cash. You say, how so? If you ever turn it over and you read the contract, it says important information or something of that nature. But they tell you your rights. You know, for example, if you have a dispute with the merchant, you may have to sue the merchant in court if you pay cash or something other than using a credit card. But I believe it's the Federal Trade Commission. You guys can double-check this. They are the ones that oversee credit cards, and they give you specific rights. You know how some people say, well, if you there are no refunds, or they try to restrict the purchaser in some other way. Most of the time, that doesn't apply to credit cards. If you're not satisfied with the product, and I'm just going to quote off the top of my head, but you guys read your own contract, I think it's like $100. If you've spent over $100 and they give you a mileage that you're within, that this contract applies. So that means that you really don't have to pay it if you tried in good faith to settle with the merchant. But usually what merchants will do, if you just kind of, explain this, they will make it good, whether it's a refund or I think once upon a time I had to get a refund from an airline. And as I said again, the restrictions that may be the case on cash or any other form of payment, the credit card is better because you have specific rights. And I hope I'm explaining this and it's coming across clearly. One has specific rights with the credit card that they, in terms of dealing with the transaction with the merchant, that one doesn't have with any other form of payment. In other words, one has protection with the credit card. So if you can just remember that, but make sure you read your contract, and that should help a lot. So just quick review, the two things is you get a free loan if you pay it off at or before the billing cycle, or I should say on or before the billing cycle date. You get a free loan. And number two, you get protections with the credit card that you may not get with any other form of payment. So those are the two big benefits I can see. Now, Ms. Eva Dene, do you have any comments on what I've said regarding that? And how important do you think it is to discuss credit card payment, debt, interest, fees, and all of that?
I feel it's very important. I feel that you did a very, very good job, and I am glad that you added in the piece about the protection of the purchase when you use a credit card. Even if you pay it off at the end of the month, the initial protection versus a cash purchase is very beneficial. It's peaceful, actually, because you will have, fortunately, some discrepancies. You might get a piece of equipment delivered to you, you know, from a furniture store or appliance for your kitchen that might be damaged upon delivery. And if you pay cash for it, they may want to just drag you through filing a claim. But if you pay credit, no, I don't need to file a claim. You can come and get it, and I'll have my credit card company cancel, you know. But in good faith, good companies should want to work with you to keep you as a customer. And, of course, good news travels fast, bad news travels faster. So for their reputation, they really should want to work with you in that way. I believe this information is valuable. It's valuable especially now as our college students are going to be bombarded with credit card applications. They're adults now. They're away from home. They need to understand the benefit of it. You know, it has its perks. But again, you want to manage it rather than. So I appreciate this information, and I do believe it's extremely helpful. Thank you.
Sure, sure. And just to follow through with, and again, I can't overemphasize, there should be a decentralized mentality regarding this type of information. In other words, everybody needs to become proficient to a certain level. And if you just do a little bit of listening, it's not hard. It's really not hard. Now, I enjoy it. I pursue it. But the average person that doesn't, you're in it anyway. You have to have a credit card. You have to have money. I heard someone say that a legacy that people leave is their words and deeds. And I thought about that. And I think they juxtapose that to money. And I'm just saying, and a lot of people downplay money. Don't do that. Money is not everything, but it's extremely important. And so one can't do very many deeds without money or someone else supporting you with their money. But however it's done, one is going to need money for health, food, clothing. And we need more money now than ever because of inflation. But everything that keeps us healthy in a civilized society, unfortunately, is money related. And we just have to get on board with that. Well, some of the things that I want to look at in terms of being AI proof, and it just goes back to the old, you know, trades that we all need. I mean, who hasn't needed a plumber or an electrician, but particularly a plumber, a carpenter, or someone who knows carpentry. But I'm just going to go over some of the fields. And as I mentioned before, by no means is this exhaustive. These are just some of the ones that stand out that I thought of. Power plant tech, you know, we have electricity that is generally so consistent and so smooth. And this is not true in every place. I talk to people that live in different countries and who have lived in different countries, and they say, you know, the power is inconsistent. It may be on for 2 hours a day and off for, you know, half or an equal amount of time, and it's just not dependable. So a power plant tech is that's very important to monitor the power, to monitor the load, and all of those things. I've worked in that field, actually, so I know a little bit about that. But a power plant tech, also a plumber and an electrician, a carpenter, a truck driver. I point out a handyman. Sometimes handymen can do quite a bit of this, carpentry and other work. A gardener, for example, is I've heard of people making in excess of $100,000 a year. Now, one has to be a good gardener, I believe, but gardening can be very profitable. So I think that these particular occupations, and I'm going to contrast them with a four-year degree. And there are other contrasts I would like to make, too, but I'll just make this one. One can be in, go to a tech school, a technical school, and get a good foundation, I should say, for these particular trades in like 18 months to 2 years. And then they can be out and working. They may have to do an apprenticeship, but that's fine, too. While those of us who went to college, and I'm not dissing that, but, you know, we're piling up the debt while you are out there earning money. And I'm going to make a quick point about this. So the high-value man, there are a lot of high-value men who work in these trades. Now, what one could suggest here is that once one gets the training and they go through their apprenticeship, and I would always advise that first, and then start your own business. You see, you don't have to work for someone forever, but start your own business after you, and you know, you take a few business marketing courses, et cetera, at your community college, right? And you're off and running. You're making money. You're like 2-3 years ahead of your colleagues that went to college, right? And then they're getting out looking for a job, which they may or may not find. Remember, they're not necessarily AI-proof, artificial intelligence-proof, but you are. Artificial intelligence is never going to run a power plant. No. Nor is it going to be a plumber or an electrician. You're always going to need a hands-on human being to do that. And so that's the reason I wanted to, you know, share this. And really some of the older people would share this with their young people, with their children and grandchildren. And those are the ones that I think I'm most concerned. Every time I get a chance, I speak to a young person, represent a book to them or recommend a book to them or some way they can get ahead, because it is going to be harder for them to get ahead today than it is for many of us who are 45 or older. People coming up that are, I forget the exact nomenclature, Gen Z maybe or whatever, but they're going to have it a lot more difficult getting and staying employed. AI is going to put a lot of your so-called digital nomads, It's going to cover that area too. But these areas that I shared, and maybe some of you, I hope some of you step up to the plate under the rubric of being decentralized and name some more fields. I think that are AI proof. I think that these need to be talked about. These are options. People need options that empowers them. So that concludes it for the moment for what I have to say. Are there any questions? First of all, Ms. Eva Dene, how do you feel about this recommendation?
Again, I believe it's very valuable, and especially for the young people who are looking into careers. They're looking into careers, and they may not know, though they're dealing with the technology every day, they may not be aware of how it's going to phase human involvement out of the workforce. I think it was the president of IBM has stopped hiring as he felt that AI is going to replace the majority of the staff. So I think he said about 5 years ago, give or take, he stopped hiring and started implementing technology to replace human work. So that would be mostly the clerical. And tell the programmers, you might need people where you need 15 people to handle programming, because now programming is, I want to say, a compilation of things that one person can do in certain areas because of coding. So very good advice. Very good information. And you remind me of junior high school where we were given home economics, which they took out of junior high school, which was the introduction to most of, I'm going to call it, the blue-collar, hands-on work. We learned electrical. We learned woodwork. We learned sewing. You know, yes, they do have electronic sewing machines, and, you know, in the factory setting, it's pretty big. But I would say that there's still use for humans in the field of clothing, in the field of clothing, and clothing design, and you know, making. But I think the information is very valuable, and
you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if that's my phone or yours, or maybe if Jay Sean is there, he can weigh in. Can you hear me clearly?
Is that better? I can hear you clearly.
Okay, yeah.
Am I better now?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I thought you were about to say something. I was going to add that welding and being a auto technician, i.e. auto mechanic, those are some fields also. So I would encourage the people, yeah, it's kind of prestigious to have that four-year degree or, you know, master's degree, but if it's not making you any bread, any money, especially to pay off whatever bills you have, or the debt you went into, because most of us had to borrow. I borrowed some money when I went to college. I mean, I had to borrow some, but I also worked, so that helped out. But like I say again, in the game of life, one gets ahead faster through the trades than they do through a degree, because here you almost assure you have a job. I mean, we need these professions and more, and nursing too. I didn't say that, but
healthcare, yeah.
This was in no way exhausted, but there are other fields, and nursing is tantamount to a trade, even though it's a little bit up on the hierarchy, but it is still, I consider it a type of trade. But anyway, so those are some. And just another quick point, and then I think, I'm going investment classes, stocks, real estate,
someone
bonds.
Who likes it coming.
Go ahead. What?
Mr. Solution? Yes, we have someone with a comment or question.
Okay, sure.
Hello, how you doing, Dr. James? How you doing? I'm listening to what y'all saying, Mr. Solution. I'm listening to you. I agree with you on some of the jobs, but the truck driving job, they have trucks that can drive themselves. They have cars that can drive themselves. So in the future, I think they're going to have buses driving themselves, cars driving themselves, and trucks driving themselves. You know, they've already made those. Some of those jobs, I don't know, but some of those jobs, they might be able to use robots, especially with, you know, like, say, automotive repair. Maybe not totally, but they may be able to use robots for automotive manufacturing. I think they already do. And you'll be surprised, these robots that they're going to make, they're going to be very, very sophisticated. So a lot of that, they were going to train some of these robots to do a lot of that hands-on work. Now, I don't know about if they probably be able to diagnose too. Another thing is with the jobs of the future, I don't know if AI is going to be able to, you know, take over this field or not, but the computer field, those are the jobs of the future. Now, as far as what you do with computers, there's a lot of different areas. So I can't say, you know, any particular area, but I think that just about everything that's going to be done is going to be tied into computers.
Caller, did you hear what Ms. Eva Dene said about the, I believe it was the CEO of IBM, how they're not hiring because AI can actually take over those jobs?
Well, like I said, there's a lot of different jobs.
Right,
and
but I'm speaking specifically of computers, like programming and so on and so forth. But go on, continue.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, well, there's from soup to nuts. Even to use the, even to be an auto mechanic, nowadays they're using computers. So
right. Let me ask you a sort of a foundational question. If you were to be commissioned to do what I'm doing or what Ms. Eva Dene is doing, would you do it?
What do you mean by commission?
Just reverse. Just ask to do this job. And then I could call in and ask you questions. In other words, you would be the presenter.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Do you feel comfortable doing that is what I'm asking.
If you're talking about finance, I'm not an expert in finance.
Well, none of us are quote-unquote experts, but we have a basic understanding. There are always higher levels, right? So, but
yeah.
Could you answer the question based on that? Would you be able to just give basic information like you are responding to?
Maybe. But it wouldn't be professional information. It would just be my personal opinion. I don't think I can give you professional information because that's not my field.
Okay. All right. All right.
You know, as I'm saying,
okay,
I'm just listening to y'all. But I'm just saying
okay,
that I know they have
thank
cars
you for calling,
that can drive. I'm
well,
just
thanks
saying,
for listening
hey, I'm just
and calling. Wait a minute, before you go, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a young person in your ambit that you can influence, like a niece, nephew, son, or daughter?
Well, I can talk to them. Maybe they'll listen, maybe they won't, but yes.
All right, well, Dave Ramsey has a book. I believe it's called Baby Steps to Being a Millionaire. That's one book. Another one is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Would you remember that and then pass that information on to them to review? Yeah, please do that.
I understand. I was just saying that I know that, you know, the main thing that I was concerned with is the truck drivers, because I know my son is a truck driver. I got one son. I got two sons. And one of my sons,
okay,
he drives a tractor trailer. And I know they're coming out with trucks, you know, in the future. I don't know how far in the future, but they're going to have trucks that can drive themselves. They already have them.
Right.
And they have cars that can drive themselves. So that
job. Let me just say this. Had you finished?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard. It's pretty much, it's on the internet and other places. They told us by such and such time we would have our individual air transportation, right?
I don't know that, but maybe so, yeah.
They talked about it. Now, some things, you're going to need the human touch. I mean, can you imagine the liability of two or three tractor trailers running amok? What that would cost? That would probably put any business out of business, right? The liability.
Yeah, could you imagine the liability of a tractor trailer going into Manhattan and hitting a person crossing the street? That's one of the main concerns.
Well, I think you're saying the same thing, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
what
I'm saying to you, what you're saying, it may happen, but it also may not happen. We may always need human beings to drive, because driving is not a science per se, it's an art. And decisions may have to be made that anything other than a human just are pretty much incapable of making. So anyway, but I understand what you're saying. I do. I understand what
yeah.
you're saying. But
I know
at the same
what you're saying
time,
also, and I know that there are some jobs. There's a lot of jobs. There's jobs out there that you do need a human for now. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? It may not be in our lifetime. But I would say, you know, this is my last comment, and you'll mute me. I would say one of the fields that the kids need to go into is building rockets, building spaceships. Now, they right now, there's not a whole lot of opportunity for that. But will there be in the future?
Right. Well, bone up on your finances, because we just may call on you, okay?
All right.
All right. Good speaking with you.
Y'all can mute me.
Thank you very much. So, can you hear me?
Well, you cut out just for a moment after you said thank you very much.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The one thing I thought about while Dr. James was speaking is the military in terms of training young people, which him and I had discussed a little earlier regarding my grandson, that young people, they may not be college bound, but to get a career and professional training in so many different fields, that the military may be an option for them. You know, my grandson wants to play ball. And so we were speaking about it in terms of, okay, he may not be in the NBA, but if he goes into the military, there's three things that are going to happen, quite possibly. He's going to receive proper training in a trade. He's also going to get paid, have a place to sleep, but he also may be able to get on the team. So he may be able to accomplish a few goals in that military direction. So we were just talking about that. So as he was speaking, I was thinking that in the fields that you're referring to, a lot of that training can be sought in the military. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, that's very apropos, because I was speaking to a young man of Mexican-American heritage, and I was pointing, he helps me on my little, what I like to call my little ranch, and I advise him and some of his friends, because, you know, all of them have friends. And I said, you may want to look at a career in the military, because, I mean, in the flash of an eye, 10 years will have passed. But you don't want to, you want to, how should I say, redeem the time. So, yeah, joining, I encourage young people all the time to join the military, young men and women. And if you don't want to go to war per se, join the Navy or the Air Force. I know a young man, I think he's like 37, maybe 38 now. He did 20 years in the military, and he's living in another country now. But nevertheless, that has worked out extremely well for him. And we can talk about that sometimes. But now the military, I can tell you, they don't just gauge you on your behavior, but also your attitude. Under Article 15 of the UCMJ, you know, one can be punished, that is, taken money and rank, if you have a bad attitude. So, you know, that's a caution that a lot of people need to understand. I loved the military. It was wonderful. It just didn't pay me enough at the time I was in. But I highly recommend it, absolutely. And also overseas, I recommend an intern. And going overseas, while you're young, one can be very mobile. Most people don't want to travel like that. And if you're willing to do that for 3 to 5 years, here goes the 3 to 5 years, just like with the 60 to 80 hours. If one does 3 to 5 years overseas, this is with a non-military, you know, a company, that really puts one in the catbird seat. That puts one in a very favorable position if they choose to come back to America. These are just options. That's all I'm saying. And options make a big difference. Go ahead.
I agree. My goddaughter, when she graduated college, as an educator, she went to China. From China, she went to Abu Dhabi, and now she's back in China. But when she started in China after graduating college as an educator, she was at $70,000 a year with all of her basic expenses paid. The second year, she became a dean. And I'm sure she's now at easily 150. And they offered full benefits to her husband in terms of furthering his education for free. So, yes.
Wow.
There are many different options in the world, in spite of where you may be born and where you may be living, that when you're seeking your career options, broaden your horizon. We have a call.
Now, was this military or non-military?
Non-military.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah, she was teaching at an American school. So, you know, people who are in the military abroad have families. And the military assures that the families are getting the resources that they're supposed to have. And so, yeah, she's good. But we do have a caller. Hi, and welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, this is Shadi. Just sitting here, you know, just want to make a comment that the two of you are doing a great job. And it benefits the young people. I think it'll be real beneficial to the younger people, as Solution said, those who are, you know, under 45 to 20s and, you know, 30s. I think it'll be the information is great for them, you know, and they need options. I mean, a lot of individuals, I think they fail because they don't have enough options presented to them. They just get, you know, a few things. And as you said, Ibana, your grandson, he wanted to play the sports, you know, sports entertainment, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, we don't present enough options to our younger people so that they will be able to succeed in life and, you know, be financially stable. That's all I want to say. I don't want to, you know, take up too much time.
Well, that's okay, Shadi. I want to press you a little bit because under the rubric of decentralization, I want to ask you, would you feel comfortable hosting, because I know you have a show, and what I'm saying is that everybody needs to be able to participate in this at one level or another. Now, Miss Eva Dene, you understand what I'm getting at, correct?
I am.
Did
here.
She
yeah,
drop?
I do. No, I'm here.
Okay.
I do
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That,
so what I want,
that,
I want everybody to be minimally proficient at this, because you're in it whether you know it or not. All of us are in it. We're in the financial thing. You have credit cards. You need to look at that program on Frontline. The credit card game, it is a game, and also the secrets of the credit card. It's on Frontline, Frontline. Just type that in there and type credit cards, Frontline, comma, credit card. Now, Shadi, my question to you is, you guys have a pretty good program. That's the reason I visit you. That's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. So would you have a program that deals with this? Because it should be spread, I believe, looking at proficiency, it should be spread among everybody. Because all of you pay Blog Talk, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would like to sit back and listen to you do this, just like I'm doing it. I'm not greedy. I like to share the wealth.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't have a problem doing it once in a while, but for me, you know, my passion is elsewhere. I know it's a much-needed topic, so I would
yes.
do it periodically. I would do it periodically. I won't deny that I will be willing to do it periodically, but it's,
right.
it won't be something that I would, you know, do you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah, I understand. And you and I talk a lot. So what I want to do, because you're a man in charge, I want to shift your passion a little bit. But all of your passions involve money one way or another, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So that's why, see, I would like to sit back and listen to Sade, because, see, you have different ideas. You have different ideas about money than I do, I'm sure. We may have some basic ideas. Did you know what I talked about regarding the credit card, like the benefits and pitfalls of a credit card?
Yeah, most of it, I was aware of.
Yeah, and those credit cards, make no mistake about it, if you see them as the hounds of hell, they're out to get you. That credit card, they have designed that credit card. They're out to get you. Make no mistake about it, with their interest and fees.
Yeah, absolutely. And the part that you said about them greasing the palms of the politicians to be able to charge you more money, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, I look at. You know,
right, exactly.
That they're able to grease the palm of individuals who many of us trust to have our best interests at heart, and they don't. You know, so that those are the kind of things that, you know, bothers me. Because
you make a great point. They're supposed to, they don't. Politicians have their own best interest in you.
Absolutely.
Give a damn about you. They don't, and they'll probably tell you that in private or someplace they feel that it won't come back to bite them in the keister. They'll tell you all about them. Screw you. Who are you?
Right.
So anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, I would definitely, you know, as I said, I would definitely be willing to do it periodically, you know, just to enlighten, you know, from my view, as you said, my view of money is, you know, yeah, being comfortable enough to, you know, make sure you're able to pay whatever bill you need to pay.
Exactly. And one other thing I would like to impress upon you, because it seems like you have a buy-in. Impress someone else to buy in also. And if you get enough people that decentralize this thing, you'll have a very powerful network, right? You'll have like in electricity, we call that a parallel circuit juxtaposed to a series circuit. You know, a series circuit, if you cut it, you cut off all the power. But in a parallel circuit, things can keep operating. Anyway,
right.
But that's I'm glad you say that. Miss Eva Denae, I'm just going to recite some of the investment classes. I hope they stimulate somebody. And as a result of that, I know you're going to give your spiel. But stocks, real estate, bonds. And these bonds are killing our banks because the federal government did this, Shadi, by the way. If you look at our banks that are having all this trouble, it's because the Federal Reserve, they sold all these bonds to the businesses, the banks, and then they raised the interest rates. Well, you know, bonds and interest rates are inversely proportional. As interest rates go up, bonds become less desirable. Right, as investment vehicles. So a lot of these banks now are catching hell, and they are about to go under because they're losing money like you. They're bleeding money. Anyway, commodities, wheat, corn, cattle, all the stuff that we consume. And then I think I said gold, silver. I don't know how you guys feel about Bitcoin, but I would love to hear your point. I know Peter Schiff calls it fool's gold, but, you know, but what do you think about Bitcoin? I follow it, don't invest in it, but it is interesting. And then I say rugs, paintings, et cetera, loans, et cetera, you know. So those are just some investment classes, but there are many, many more. Nothing here is nearly exhaustive. It's just illustrative.
So I'd like to comment on the digital currency. Well, you know, everything you said is I agree. But I would like to comment on the digital currency market and the fact that our traditional authority on securities, you know, the SEC, they really hate it because wealthy people have now become more melanated in the digital currency field. They cannot control it, though they're trying very hard. And I have invested in Bitcoin, not early on, unfortunately, but I have invested in Bitcoin, and I've done it as simply as going through Cash App, because you can purchase Bitcoin in Cash App. And so some years ago, what I used to do is I used to cash out my earnings into my Cash App, purchase Bitcoin, leave my phone on the nightstand, and I would wake up with more money and no sweat. I love that. It was perfect. It was perfect. It took a turn, you know, but everything can take a turn. Along with Bitcoin, they have a whole lot of others, like XRP, which is an exchange program. It's an exchange program. So if you decided, and let's say on a higher corporate level as well, if they wanted to transfer money, they were using the SWIFT network. And it could still take a couple of days, right? And a lot of fees. But with XRP, you can transfer in seconds, that same money. The SEC hates it. So they've been in this major lawsuit with Coinbase with the assumption that Coinbase marketed XRP as a security to try to put digital currency in a negative light, because people who are not looking deeper will just take surface information. So I've done well in the cryptocurrency market. There were a few reward programs that were out, and they still may be, but I was in one that tripled your money in 18 months. Whatever you purchase, they tripled it in 18 months. And so when I joined it, and it was a rewards program, not an investment, quote unquote, a rewards program. So when I joined it, I, you know, a little skeptical. So I joined for 300. Didn't think about it. I was watching, what was I watching? Oh, a video on XRP while I was working. And then I started hearing about Hyperfund, Hyperfund, Hyperfund. Well, that was the next video that came on. And I said, wait, I know Hyperfund. I'm in Hyperfund. So it made me go to rewind, one of those words we don't use too much. It made me go to rewind and now listen intently to this video on Hyperfund. So it was like maybe 2 hours short of 6 months that I had been in and not looked at it. So when I looked at my account, I had earned $250 in rewards. And I said, oh, it's working, right? Because I put in $300. It was triple in 18 months. So 6 months later, it was at 250. But that's only because it was about 11:30 p.m. Well, by the time I – so what they did was they did a rebuy program. So ideally, if you would rebuy every time you reached $50 in rewards, then you were earning rewards on not, in my example, the 300, but now 350 and then 400, you know, as it was I want to say compounding, no other word, right? So by the time I finished, I said, okay, let me rebuy. So I did a rebuy of the 250 on top of the 3, which gave me 550. Well, by the time I figured out how to do that, it was after midnight, and guess what? I had another $50 in rewards, and that made that six-month mark. So it was doing what it said it was going to do. And, you know, some people don't like network marketing, but if you don't like network marketing, you will never share anything that you've come across that's good with anyone, whether it's a good book or a good restaurant or a podcast like this that's giving great information. You wouldn't share it if you weren't in the habit of sharing good information. And then when it comes to the marketing arm on it, well, if you share it and you can get something for it, where does the problem lie exactly? So I love network marketing when it's a great product and a great service. So fast forward, I shared it with some friends now. Sometimes people can be all in their own way. I have some friends who, by the time I shared it with one, she shared it with her son. He shared it through his network. There was over $50,000 in my downline that people had put in. You know, the other people have put in big money to triple it in 18 months. So I explained to them, because I'm very transparent, I keep no secrets. I explained to them what I was doing and what I did. Because for me, that 300 that I did my rebuy on that night total, if I would have taken that out, I would have been good. You know, that other 300 would have been doing whatever it's doing. I would have kept on doing what I was doing. So I did. I eventually started pulling out money, not all of it. I started pulling some out. And the young lady said, no, she did all these major calculations, and in 2 years I'm going to have $1 million. And I said, listen carefully, because, you know, nothing is guaranteed. I believe that as well. I said, pull out your initial investment once you reach it. This way, it's just gravy on the rice. You have no loss.
Once I see.
Now, you see, I mean, that's just my strategy. And she didn't, they didn't, and the company did a turn when the NFTs started getting busy. That specific company, they did some new stuff, and I believe their money is locked in somewhere.
Wait a minute, it's not lost, just locked in?
I don't know, because the company did some other stuff. Like, I was trying to do a withdrawal for $400 this time. Without paying very close attention, I didn't realize that they were transitioning into another deal. So I've never pulled out that four, but I am ahead and on top. And I just wish they would have done the same thing, you know, like.
Well, that's what one has to talk about, some of the important particulars. Let me ask you this question, if I may, just briefly. Is your Bitcoin in your, Y-O-U-R, your private wallet?
So I have three wallets. I have three wallets, but I do not have a Nano. Nano wallet is an external wallet that you can transfer. So it's almost like a wallet you can, like a disk drive, right?
It's like a what,
no,
I'm sorry?
Longer on, it's like a wallet, a disk drive.
Right.
So when you assets, right, when you take your assets and put them on a flash drive, I apologize, on a flash drive, a Nano, then you're walking around with it. You know, you aren't supposed to be able to lose it because it's no longer in virtuality. You
right, that's what I'm talking about, where no one else has access to it but you.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay, so you is yours that way? Is a better question. Was yours and theirs that way? And you call it a Nano wallet?
Well, that's one of the wallets. One of the external storage devices is a Nano. And
so
no,
you are very adept at this. You see, I don't know it very well. I do listen to people talk about it, and some positive, some negative. But anyway, yeah, they talk about having one's own wallet because other people have been known to steal your cryptocurrency if they can get access to it. So no one can get access to your cryptocurrency or the people that you are referencing.
And let's be very clear. A traditional bank can send you a credit card, and by the time you open your mail, your money has already been spent. So the stealing through technology can happen in any business, in any format. You know what I mean? So you'll hear people who will say they lost a lot of money on Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on when they came in, if they came in when it was 0.003 and they pulled some out, then even if it went from the 64,000 down to the 27,000 for one, it's been an amazing ride. If you pull out while it's high, not all, especially if you bought it very low, you have like people have millions of Bitcoin that they purchased when it was 0.003 or 4 or 5 or even 1 penny because they were positioned. You know what I mean? So always hear, as I mentioned earlier, you could always hear stories because people sometimes would like to adopt them more and receive them more. But as I mentioned to my friends, my strategy is a strategy of don't lose. Once I see you doing what you do, I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to pull out, and I'm going to let the rest of that ride. And it's okay. And it's okay. I remember one Monday I woke up, and I looked at my Atomic wallet. That's another wallet. I looked at my Atomic wallet, and it was, maybe when I went to sleep, I think it was maybe at maybe $300. When I woke up that morning, it was over $1,400. I said, what did we do here, right? Now, again, not high numbers, but higher than when I went to sleep. And
sure.
I struggled a little bit, though. I said, okay, talking to myself in the screen, I said, oh, you think I'm going to sell? Oh, no, I'm not going to sell. You did what you did. You're going to keep doing it. You don't talk to yourself like that, right?
Right.
Then it started going down. When it started going down, I sold. And that was just one. That was a BitTorrent, BTT, BitTorrent. And it
so you stopped the bleeding. You were able to stop the bleeding.
Well, I did. I did. And what I did was I transferred it and bought more XRP. See, XRP is at about maybe 32 cents now. About
sure.
32 cents. But it's slated to be the number one. The number one transferring digital currency out there. One where, as I mentioned, will replace Swift.
I think your approach is smart, but I also think, now you do gamble, I guess all of us do, it's called calculated risk, but you obviously are not an addict, because addicts can't do that. I've seen people in Vegas with a tray of chips, literally a tray of chips at one point, and I left and I came back several hours later. And I asked the guy, I said, where did all those chips go? And you know what he did? He pointed to the machine. He didn't do what you are advising. I really appreciate what you say. When you win on an investment, take your base money out and then just let, I think you use the term gravy, just let the gravy simmer. Are you there? Miss Eva Dene has to get a better, I don't know, that her carrier seems to, I'm pretty sure it's, can you hear me? Are you there? Miss Eva Dene?
Yes, I am.
Are you there?
Yes,
oh, I don't know if you heard my comments. I said I like your approach.
Yes, you were talking about my carrier and my technology, but no, what were you saying?
Well, no, I said I like your approach, and it means that you are not an addict because you pull your base money out and you just kind of, I think you use the term gravy, let the gravy, and my word, not yours, let the gravy simmer. So you're not at risk when you do it the way you're doing it. You're just dealing with the profits. You're just investing with the profits when you pull your base money out, right?
That is correct. That is correct. Gravy
I like
on
that.
The rice. I call it gravy on the rice after that.
But look here, we've done is talked about Bitcoin. See, you're in, I'm out. I could have bought it when it was, I would have been fabulously. What do they call the Bitcoin? They call them whales?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Is that okay? I could have easily been a whale, but I got to tell you, Bitcoin violated every investment principle that I had ever known. Now, I'm not sorry that I didn't do it, right? But at the same, because it just violates, and it still violates everything I know regarding investment. And I tell you, you're familiar with Peter Schiff, right?
Yes, he's the one who took it and ran.
No. Peter Schiff, you might want to look him up. He's a famous investment advisor. He's on all the different networks and stuff. But he's, he's out of the Austrian position on investment, juxtaposed to the John Maynard Keynes, in other words, Keynesian. He doesn't believe in the Keynesian economic format. He believes in the Austrian format. So he calls Bitcoin fool's gold. And he lives in Puerto Rico now. And a lot of those whales, Bitcoin whales, have moved to Puerto Rico. They made a lot of money. See, they bought it when the guy who told me about it was a younger guy who had no money, and he basically needed my assets to make the investment. And I kind of looked at it, and I looked at him, and I said, no, 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 no. But it was less than it was about a dollar or something. It was very cheap at that juncture.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what is it now? Mm-hmm. It's about 26,000 now per Bitcoin, right?
Approximately, yeah. Uh-huh.
Now,
yeah.
So I keep up with it. I follow investments. I'll just say this. Some people say, like, Bitcoin is, a lot of the institutional investors pulled out. And it, what I was thinking is it takes 100 million Satoshi. I think I'm quoting this correctly. It's 100 million, and a Satoshi is the smallest part of a Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it takes 100 million Satoshi to get at a Bitcoin. And if a person is buying just a few Satoshi, I mean, when do they come into dollars?
I mentioned, right?
Huh?
I mentioned that at the end of my day, I would cash out into Cash App, purchase Bitcoin, go to sleep, and wake up with more money. So sometimes, as my friend did, sometimes people dig too far down, and
okay,
the surface
okay.
gives you, you know, the surface gives you your results. So
okay.
if you're not, so like with Hyperfund, one of the founders of Hyperfund, the one that was the reward program that was tripling your money in 18 months. And now let me say, in less than 18 months, I more than tripled my money because of the rewards I was getting on top of the other people that I shared it with. So in less than 18 months, I definitely tripled my money, pulling out. But,
if I recall you correctly, excuse me, you put 300. That was your base, right?
That was my base.
Okay, yeah.
That was
okay.
my base, yeah.
So
and
you're saying I'm thinking only because of the person that introduced me, well, not the first person, but when I talk about 100 million Satoshi, because that's what they talk about, to equal one Bitcoin, you're saying I'm drilling down too far, right?
Yeah, stay at the top and do what you need to do. Just you know, take the sandwich off of the cream on the Oreo cookie. Just take that top off and watch the cream grow. That's it. Like, I mean, again, never do you want to put in your last. So as we're speaking to those who may be interested in investing, your financial plan is registered. We are not security agents or brokers. We are two people, Mr. Solution and I, Ibadane. We are two people who are sharing information along with the callers just to help us grow a little more. The one thing I strongly believe in are stock splits. I will watch that stock split calendar faithfully. And I had an experience. Oh, heck yeah. I had an experience back in the 90s where the stock was splitting 100 to 1. So you know I like those numbers, right? It was gravy in the first batch without the rice. I purchased 10. My then husband purchased 20. Upon splitting, I had 1,000. He had 2,000. Now, when a split happens, for those of you who are listening, if you purchase it before the split, when the split happens, the value of each one, really, with the split. So they were $10. They went down to under a penny a share. Now, this is stock, not digital currency, not Bitcoin. They went down to under a penny a share. And I watched. And I watched, you know, not hungry, just watching periodically. And my thought was I could have spent that in Red Lobster in one night and nothing to show for it but, you know, a hit. But I watch it and watch it. I set up a meeting to do exactly what we're doing here with family and friends so we could all bring to the table what we knew and leave there knowing more. The night before, I looked at, and this was in my husband's account, so I say to you, love who you want to love, trust who you want to trust, have your own account. That was my lesson. So, well, you know, love who you love, trust who you trust, have your own account. And you can share ideas, but have your own account. So when I
listen at the account
the night. Say it again?
No, I just said listen at you. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's why we're here, to share, right? Life's lessons so that other people can learn from them, still do what they want to do, but learn. Well, I looked up at the account the night before this meeting, and he had sold his shares earlier in the...
Are you cutting out? Doggone it. He had sold his shares. That's what I heard.
Yes, he sold his shares earlier in the week. I asked him why. He said it was making his portfolio look bad. My question to him was, how could 2,000 shares that you've only spent $200 for make your portfolio look bad? Your portfolio is the photo of all the stocks you have. So you had 2,000 shares. I said, if they go up to a dollar a share, you're good. Well, I said, whatever you do, do not sell mine. Well, the night before this event that I had set up, I looked at his account, and my shares were gone. Not only were my shares gone, but they were at $46 a share.
Now.
And I had 1,000. It had gone up to $59 a share, so I said I cannot claim a $59,000 loss because I didn't look at it 2 days before. But that $46 a share, I could definitely claim a $46,000 loss. So I had already made up my mind. It didn't take much for that. And when he came in and I asked him why did he sell them, he said because he felt like it. And I said, oh, okay. Well, you have 13 days to leave my house. And don't get me wrong. I think he's a great guy, but he has a weird concept of finance. So it was just a cherry on a Sunday where we weren't having problems, but I knew for a fact that I was not 20 on his list of 1 to 30 about how you cared about my well-being. Because if you want, and I told him, I said, if you wanted them out, you should have told me. But it's okay. I understand. You know,
I was hoping it was inadvertent, but what you're saying, there's no doubt it was intentional.
I asked you not to. And if you wanted them out, and this is, again, the lesson, you know, have your own account. That is most important to me. And you can put your mate, your spouse, your children on the account as beneficiaries, should in case something happened to you. But have your own account. It's very important.
So you believe in relationships, if because, you know, money and relationships go together like a horse and carriage. So you believe in a relationship there should be his, hers, and ours.
Yes, absolutely. Yours, mine, and ours. I, you know, just in a relationship period, I feel that people should never give up self. Never give up self. You're bringing
but
self
isn't
to the
that,
table.
Let me just throw this at you since you say it that way, Miss Eva Dene. Isn't that sort of forecasting the demise of the relationship if one does that? Isn't that the opposite of togetherness?
No.
His,
Mr.
hers,
Solution?
And ours?
Mr. Solution, on previous
yes,
shows,
ma'am.
Approximately, on previous shows approximately 4 weeks ago, did I not hear you talk about a prenuptial? Oh, it's the same idea. It is the same idea. Yours, mine.
I cannot tell a lie. That was
I. I know. Yours, mine, and ours. And it's not because you're looking forward to separation, but again, it's because you are you. We have brought
each
other to this we game. So the game, again, game is about what we have. Like I said, you can leave beneficiaries. You can leave things in place. You can build together and buy together, and you can consult with each other. But yours, mine, and ours, even bank accounts, you have yours, they have theirs, and we have one together. And that together one is the one that we do our together projects with. I'm all for harmonious. I'm all for harmonious. But you don't want to – it's harder to unwind yourself when the wind is tight. It's very hard to unwind when the wind is tight, you know.
Yeah, I think your ideas make a lot of sense in that capacity, I think. But now I will say that's an uncomfortable conversation. I mean, I've advised women – I know a lady, I think her name was Cynthia – And she called me up. She was a professional lady. And she says, what do you think about this guy? She was thinking about getting married to this guy. And she said, I want a prenup. What do you think if he doesn't want it? And I think he may have given some indication that he didn't. I say, well, you know, I would think hard about getting involved with this person because it appears that they have an ulterior motive. It's not just for you. It's also about maybe what they can get. So I would have no problem signing a prenup. I mean, I wouldn't. I would not balk at that one iota.
I understand, and it may not be that he has an ulterior motive. People have history. They have history, mm-hmm. not of their own, by listening mm-hmm. to others. So people come into relationships. I share with new couples that are engaged. I said, this is the one statement you never, ever want to mention in your relationship, now that we're married. I said, once you say now that we're married, if everybody is on 2 feet, you're about to end that relationship. Because that now that we're married comes with changes. And those changes didn't exist. It's not what brought you together. So, yes, we have same last name, hyphenated last name, or maybe you kept your last name. And maybe we may be moving into, you know, a home together if we want to. But that now that we're married, it starts coming with, now you should do this and now you should do this. So, like, who? I ask them, please don't say that. Please don't say it and don't mean it. Because the marriage is really a public display and ceremony of your relationship. Nothing right. should change about the dynamics of your relationship. Our friends are our friends, our vacations are they. All of that was already in place. So I ask them, beg them, do not. But people come with the history of other people, looking at other people's relationships. And, you know, again, I recommend that, you know, not finance talk, but that people watch the movie Bridges of Madison County. It's a very, very good movie. Very good.
Wait a minute. What is it again?
Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, Bridges of Madison County. Oh, I love movies. Yeah.
Yeah, Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood. Beautiful movie.
Oh, I like both of those.
Well, you're going to enjoy that. Let me just say this regarding finance. We love having you. And Mr. Solution, what you were recommending to Shadi, I have put our second one, last week, not our planning meeting yet, but I have put the first Tuesday session up on my YouTube. And as you're mentioning that they should bring it in, those links could be made available, even as an advertisement blurb. You know, if you want to learn more about finance, go to this link on YouTube. You know, if they put it on their YouTube or however they do it, I don't know how long Blog Talk recordings stay up, but they could definitely make mention also in the meantime that people, their listeners, go and listen to what we're talking about and then, of course, join us as long as we're still joining together. You know.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. You mean like the frontline documentaries?
Correct, because I have our first session on my YouTube already. And
okay, well, say this for me again, ma'am. That's Madison, M-A-D-I-S-O-N?
Bridges of Madison County, yes.
Okay. I don't know what it is about Blog Talk, but some of the syllables get distorted.
Could be that. Could be me. I'll take responsibility as well. Can you hear me clearly?
No. I don't think it's you. I think it's in the instrumentation or in the broadcasting. But anyway, I got it. Bridges of Madison County and Clint
Beautiful.
Eastwood and Meryl Streep. Strip.
Beautiful movie. Street.
Oh, yeah. Well, look here. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we're going to recruit some more people to get on this, speaking of decentralization, because I want everybody to be handsomely informed on this particular topic.
Girl, I knew I had to have you.
Well, I guess that would be the ending song. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in.
Yeah.
It is an hour and a half into the show, Mr. Solution and I. Well, actually, yes, Mr. Solution gave so much wonderful information. Shadi, thank you for plugging in and sharing your information. And, you know, it's all about building. No one knows it all, but whatever we know, we're willing to share. Your final comments, Mr. Solution?
Oh, that's it. I concur with what you're saying, beautifully stated, and hopefully we'll see each other. Do you have a preview of what you're going to say next time? What topic? I haven't selected one. Maybe relationships and money? I don't know. What do you think?
We can do relationships and money, and I want to speak about taxes and the refunds and what to do with that money. So those two things segue into each other.
Sounds good. Well, look, God bless you. Have a great evening.
As well. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And for all of you, please come back again next Tuesday. We look forward.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Get a shot of one. Remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and save, save a win. Nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're a lover, homie, love a friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. Oh. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate and see how life works.
Yeah,
when there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again.
Whoa.
I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see you. Sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.